So in the wake of the tragedy and violence in Arizona, people are asking, how do we protect lawmakers, not only in Washington, but in their home districts? And here's a pretty interesting idea. Listen.
As four members of Congress, I think if somebody wants to carry, then that's fine. I probably won't, even if we pass that, but I think that there should be an ability for some that should. I know friends that walk home from the Capitol, and I got amused to hear all the news segments talking about, you know, once they leave the Capitol, they don't have near the security force. There is no security force.
That's Representative Louie Gohmert, Republican of Texas, talking with the Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick. Members of Congress want to carry. Packing heat in Congress is a possible security solution to the issues raised in Arizona. Todd Zwillick joins us. He's Takeaway Washington correspondent. Also, Joanne Freeman is with us, professor of history at Yale, currently at work on a book about violence in Congress. Good morning to both of you.
Hi, good morning, John.
So,
good morning.
So, Todd, how serious is this idea of allowing lawmakers to actually carry weapons as a direct sort of consequence of what happened in Arizona?
No, Louie Gohmert is serious. In fact, his bill there would be a concealed carry permit, basically, for members of Congress in the District of Columbia. You cannot concealed carry in the district. Now, I should point out, members of Congress are permitted to carry weapons unloaded into the Capitol, and they are permitted to possess weapons on Capitol Hill. But here's the catch. You're up until very recently, you couldn't carry a weapon in the district, and you still can't concealed carry. So how do you get it to Capitol Hill in the first place? You'd have to disassemble it, get it to Capitol Hill, reassemble it. It was never practical, so nobody ever really did it. But it already is legal to do. It's just not practical to do. Louie Gohmert's dead serious. He would like members to be able to be armed, concealed carry, and be able to carry those weapons on the House floor if need be.
And Representative Jason Chaffetz from Utah apparently confronts this practical issue, possibly even on a daily basis. He talked to you about it. Listen.
I have had a concealed carry permit before I was in Congress. I continue to have it, and I will continue to use it. So it wasn't something new. It wasn't a reaction to Saturday. So
you've always
not here, but I do in my district.
In your district.
Sometimes, and not always. Depends how I wake up that morning, and sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
A sense there, Todd Zwillick, that Chaffetz doesn't think it's necessarily practical to do it in Washington, D.C., but in his home district, just fine. Hold on for a moment. Joanne Freeman, when I think about guns in Congress, I think about the March 1st, 1941 attack by Puerto Rican nationalists in the House of Representatives using an automatic weapon. What's the history of guns anywhere near the Capitol Dome?
Well, certainly in the first half of the 19th century, many congressmen were pretty habitually armed, and not just with guns, but knives. Bowie knives were a particular favorite, partly because I think some of these people were armed generally in life, particularly I think in the West, but maybe also in the South to some extent, but also because over the course of the first half of the 19th century, as political issues got more heated, I think people didn't necessarily feel safe, even in Congress, and some people actually did arm themselves to feel safer, and other people armed themselves, I think, to score points. During debate, it was sort of frightening to stand up and oppose somebody if you knew he was armed with a knife or a gun.
And I can certainly vividly see how that would work in practice. John Freeman is a professor of history at Yale, currently at work on a book about violence in Congress. Well, in some sense, the security issues on Capitol Hill are very simple compared with the idea of protecting all members of Congress in their home districts. Todd Zwillick, how is Congress going to deal with this?
Well, the idea, of course, immediately after the events in Tucson on Saturday, there were calls to have a member of the U.S. Capitol Police, that's the police force that protects members of Congress, it's not the Secret Service, to have the U.S. Capitol Police assign an officer, one officer, to every member when they're home in the district, dismissed almost immediately as impractical. Just no way to assign that many officers and on down the line. After the security briefings yesterday, what members are saying is that U.S. Capitol Police chiefs and sergeant at Arms are urging members to appoint liaisons in their offices, a member of the staff whose job it is, one of their jobs, to be in close contact with law enforcement back in the district and to relay any concerns, any security concerns, threats that the Capitol Police pass on to them, so that if you have an event, it's easier to have uniformed officers. You know, members point out they often do have at least one uniformed officer at many events. Not all events, sometimes, not always uniformed, not always. It's haphazard and kind of catch as catch can. That's probably not going to change. I don't think you're going to see a situation where all 435 members are protected all the time. That's not feasible. But certainly there's an increased level of alertness right now.
Well, Joanne Freeman of Yale, one of the reasons that they don't carry in Congress anymore is because there were so many reports of people being intimidated, not getting back up to the podium to speak because someone had pulled a gun and a pistol and threatened them. I mean, to a certain extent, shouldn't Congress be the place where they're more deliberative and the threat of violence or the carrying of a weapon is not necessary?
Oh, certainly I agree with you. And the fact of the matter is that when you look at the 1830s, 40s, and 50s, the more weapons that were present and the tenser the environment got, the less effective that body got. Huh. So that by the 1850s, when you really have a lot of violence, and I think an increase in weapons as well, there isn't a lot of really fruitful dialogue necessarily going on in Congress past a certain point.
It's interesting that dialogue is the issue. Joanne Freeman, before we go, a new chapter in your book or more of a reference, the Tucson shooting over the weekend?
Well, I think a reference and an unfortunate way in which I'm really focused on the 19th century, and it's suddenly become a lot more topical than I ever thought it would be.
Joanne Freeman is a professor of history at Yale, currently at work on a book about violence in Congress, thinking about the aftermath of Arizona this morning with Joanne Freeman and Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks, Todd.
Sure thing, John.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.